Welcome to another episode of Three Men and a War Game. I'm your host, Paul, and I just want you to know that Trumpy does stupid things.
All right. This is Kevin, a.k.a. Chops, Pirates.
This is Potter, and I can't wait for vacation.
Is that because you're sick of our crazy quotes, or because you just
I never
go on
know
vacation?
What to say. I think of both. I just you guys do your thing, and it's like I've got something set up, and then my mind blanks, and I never know what to say. So I'm done with it. I'm going to Disney. Fuck this shit.
Yeah, you're going a month and a half late.
I know. I'd already made plans, but I'm going during Mickey's birthday. Damn it.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. He's an old fart.
I know. He's 90.
Wow.
He should be in the public domain now. Good old U.S. copyright laws.
You think Disney's going to let that happen?
Right? Could you imagine? Jeez.
That cash cow?
Ha ha, ha ha.
I guarantee. I don't know if this is true, but I'd be willing to bet that our copyright laws changed for Disney.
Probably.
Oh,
they,
I would not
doubt
that. They
pretty much get what they want.
They own like 1/5 of the entire communication of America. So yeah.
Yeah, it's like either them or Rupert Murdoch.
Yeah, my wife and I were judged. This is, she was joking with me. She was like, "Can you imagine the day in the future when like our grandkids ask us if we want to go see a Disney?" And I was like, "You shut up."
Just everything's Disney at this point.
Right,
do you want
to go
eat at Disney?
Yeah, not like go see a movie. Go see a Disney.
Yeah, that's probably pretty much it, huh?
Because the federal government doesn't care about monopolies anymore, so.
All right, let's stop getting political. Let's stop getting political and start getting wargamey.
Yeah. Damn it, Potter.
This episode is nothing but fake news.
That's the truth.
That I'm standing behind. That is one of the most accurate uses for that term ever.
I will stand behind that.
So in the interest of spreading fake news, there's a pretty awesome Kickstarter coming up, because you know last week we talked about a Kickstarter that was finally delivered. So that means that everybody should be looking for a new Kickstarter to spend the next year and a half going, gee, I wish I had this.
And based on our release schedule, actually, this Kickstarter will have been live for 4 days when this episode goes up. So
okay, so it's already out. So you can already see, you guys, when you're listening to this, will already know how well it's doing.
Yep, at least for now, you'll know how well it's doing. And let's get talking about it, because if you're just listening to this today, then you're gonna want to cue in and check out this game. It is called Oak and Iron. So, as you heard me say in my intro, Pirates, Oak and Iron is a historical naval battles game set in the age of piracy.
Yar-har.
Yar-har. And let's go over some of the basics here. So, this is a naval game. It's about naval battles. And I think primarily small skirmishes and fleet engagements is the idea that we're going to have here. So anywhere between 3 and 12 ships. This is a 1/600th scale game. So that is the scale for you scale nerds out there. 1/600th is the scale. And this is being developed by Firelock Games. I believe it's Mike Tunez is the owner or main developer at Firelock Games. He is also the designer of the extremely well-respected, if a bit underplayed, Blood and Plunder, which is a sort of company skirmish piratey type game played in 28 mil, and you're actually used playing with sailors, and there are boat fights in that game too, ship fights, ship to ship engagements, but this is the, rather than 28 mil, this is 1/600th scale.
So 1/600th that means that, like, give me that in, like, yeah, well, yeah, so, like, every, what, 600 inches on a ship is equal to 1 inch on the model?
No, that means that the ship is 600 times smaller than the actual ship.
So it's 160 times smaller than a galleon.
Well, it's 600, so now, 600 or, times smaller.
Right? Sorry, yeah, 600.
Okay, so if it's not just, if it's not 28 mil or whatever, is that going to give different types of proportions to the ships than you would see if they were, I mean, is it important? Basically, no, I guess is what I'm
important.
Asking about.
It's what it's important for is it gives you an idea of how big the ships are. So like a fourth rate ship of the line, which is like a, you know, a 220 foot or no, it's longer than that. A big boat, right? Is maybe like 2 inches long in the game. I don't even know what I said there.
Don't worry, it's funny.
I mean, I can figure out that a big model's going to be big. Right? But, okay. So there is somewhat, but it's not going to, like, fuck with the scale or create better accuracy or anything like that?
It does. No, the idea is that in everything being designed at 1/600th, everything is in true scale to itself, right? So, like, when you look at a game, when you look at a flute versus a fourth rate or third rate ship of the line, the size proportions are exactly what they would be if you were to look at those two ships sitting next to you in a harbor.
Okay, that's what I was trying to get to. I think that's what I was trying to get to, was that
okay.
the 1/600th would give you an actual accurate representation of the ships, as opposed to kind of half-assing it at saying, okay, they're this size.
No, they are scaled to each other, and it's not like X-Wing where it's like maybe this ship is sort of scaled like an X-Wing. The scale is all fucked up. Some of the ships are way bigger than they're supposed to be, some are way smaller than they're supposed to be, but every ship in this game is 1/600th. So when you look at a ship, it is as compared to other ships in the game, as big as its real life counterpart would be.
Okay, cool. That's what I was trying to get at and just couldn't figure out how
articulate. All right.
Yeah, get there as a non-engineering science person.
Gotcha. So that is what 1/600 scale means.
Now then, that's
big,
over
big
with.
Boats are big.
Yeah, now that we got that out of the way, and everyone who listens to us knows we're idiots.
Yeah, all you're right, sitting here like naming these boats off like I know what the fuck you're talking about.
Oh yeah, I guess I should have mentioned that I do like naval history.
I'm like, what the fuck is he talking about? Like, what's a third rate fucking boat? I don't know what that
is. I heard flute and I heard flute and I just envisioned a model of like Jeff.
Oh my god, you guys are the worst.
I thought he was gonna see the Nutcracker this weekend.
You guys are worse.
Oh my god!
FLUYT flute, not FLUTE.
Is that first chair or second chair?
I just pictured the guy from Jethro Tull, like on the bow of a ship, playing in the battle.
I hate you guys so much right now. All right. Anyway.
Oh god. All right. So what we've established so far is that Chops is far more intellectual than either Chris or Paul.
Or I just
Chops
know more
is a
about
nerd.
Old boats. Yeah.
All right. So go ahead. Now that we understand the difference between 1/600th and 28 mil and what a flute is.
Okay. All right. So
I'm going to put one disclaimer out there before you go. Jim, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
All right. Friend of the show, Jim, I also apologize if this talks you into this game, because I don't know how you feel about historical miniatures gaming or ship engagements and naval stuff. So anyway, this is a, again, as I noted, a game that's 1/600 scale, and it is a ship-to-ship combat-based game. So, Just go over some of the basics here. So we're going to be, at least in the Kickstarter, the biggest ship for the people who may understand this term is a fourth rate ship of the line.
i.e. not Christopher Paul.
So for you guys, it big ship, lots of guns. Many cannons.
Now he's speaking my language.
And the smallest ship is a sloop, which is a much smaller ship.
Like the Beach Boys sing about.
Less guns, yes.
Is that
exactly.
Like the flute's little brother?
It's a smaller boat. But there are lots of ships in between there. So you guys hopefully know what a galleon is.
It's a type of currency.
God damn it. It's another boat. It's a big-ish boat.
I knew what a galleon was.
All right, cool. So galleons are in there. Flutes are in there. Frigates, corvettes, flutes. Those are like the main ships. So brigantine, those are like, these are all the ships that you're going to have, at least in the Kickstarter that starts on the 7th, which will be going, as I noted, for almost a week by the time we're hearing this. So if you're hearing this, go check out the Kickstarter. It's called Oak and Iron. So maybe just Google that or Google Firelock Games, Oak and Iron. So what I want to do is just go over some of the basic things from the designer notes and just talk to you guys about what you guys might think about that, these specific things that are here.
All right, let's do
it.
Does
that sound good?
Yep.
All right. So one of them, the first thing says command and control. So this is a critical factor. Oh my God, my web browser is fucking up, you guys. I'm so sorry.
Is it jumping around?
It's jumping around like a maniac.
It's not your browser. It's the site, because mine was doing it too.
All right. Well, we'll just cover the basics rather than me reading everything out loud from what I know. So the command and control thing, what it's mainly talking about is the fact that each player is going to construct a hand of initiative cards based on the nationality they choose and the ships they take. And these initiative cards, each player is going to play one at the beginning of each round. And so, but the way it works is that the one that you play at the beginning of the round is actually the one that you'll use for the next round. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Yeah. So you're
so you have to plan ahead because you're
right.
You're admiraling boats. Like, these things aren't static and sitting around, right? They're moving. Right. So you have to be planning ahead. And so the initiative card that you play will actually be, or that you choose, will be the one that you use in the next turn. And they also are going to have abilities that are thematic to the faction you play. So like, let's say you choose the pirates. You want to play the pirate faction. One of the ones that I know that I've seen is called Raise the Black. And what Raise the Black does when you play it is a super fast, high initiative card. And as soon as you do it, any ships that are within a certain range of your ships immediately take fatigue because they realize that you're not like some neighboring nation. You're actually nice. Pirate ships, and it scares the shit out of them.
That's pretty cool.
Hmm.
That's very thematic.
Yes, and all of the nations have their own sort of thematic things that they can do. So that is the command and control thing, is that you have to plan ahead, and there's this really cool initiative card deck that you're going to build and the mechanic that around it based on how that works for the rest of the turn.
Interesting.
Yep. And so the other thing that was really important for the designer in this game was making it quick and easy to play. So movement in this game is handled via they're kind of like movement templates, but they're not like movement templates like you think of in Gaslands or X-Wing. They're just straight widgets. And each widget, based on the length of the widget, has a triangle at the end of it. And the angle of the triangle is more or less severe, depending on how fast you're going.
Okay.
Because a faster ship won't be able to turn. If you're moving faster, you won't be able to turn as sharply, right? Right. Whereas if you're moving slower, you'll be able to make a deeper turn. And that's represented Yep, that's represented. And also windage is important, right? So when you look at the like the stat cards, and also when you look at the bases in this game, you can actually see the angle of the sails. And then there's like very specific rules that say if the wind is coming and it's hitting your ship at anywhere in this section, you're in the wind's eye, or you've got the wind behind you or whatever, and that's going to affect your speed. So, and wait, so you're able to...
Mm-hmm. Can I ask something?
Yeah.
Does that mean that there's like an AI wind mechanic?
Yeah, there is.
Fuck yes, that sounds amazing.
Yes, there is. Yep. And if you sail into the wind's eye, you're dead, right? Your ship can't move.
Right.
And all you can do is sort of rotate around until you can get back behind the wind. And there's lots of cool mechanics like that. So just talking about combat resolution, it's handled with eight-sided dice. The eight-sided dice, there is a critical side, which is a skull and crossbones, as it should be. And then there is a sails, which is important in a second. There is a crew symbol. And then there are symbols for cannons, muskets, and pistols. And that's going to be to basically referencing the three range bands in the game, which is if you're at pistol shot range, if you're at musket shot range, or if you're at cannon range. And how it works is if you're firing from cannon range and you roll dice, you only hit on cannons and crits. If you're firing at musket range, you hit on muskets, cannons, crits, and if you're at pistols, you hit on all of them. Make sense?
Yep, that does actually. Quite simple. Yeah.
Very easy to maintain. And then if you roll crits at the end, after you've assigned crew fatigue and damage to the actual ship, you re-roll those crits, and based on what you get, so if you hit sails as an example, it's like you shot cannon shot through the sails, and it causes them to lose speed all the way down to the ship being anchored where it's sitting. Basically, well, wow. Like you blew the mast off the ship, right?
That's interesting. I like that.
Yep. And then and even cooler is like, say you so if you rake a ship, and I don't know if you guys understand, but you guys know that term, you know what that means, if a ship gets raked.
Mm-hmm.
So if it gets shot from the direct front or direct back, and that's bad, right? Because if you hit a ship broadside, the cannonball goes, you know, through the ship broadside. So there's a very small window of the ship that cannonball is hurting. Whereas if you rake the ship, the cannonball goes bout astern, right? Like just woof. Or no, bout astern is the broadside. But you're going to like basically go front back to ship, right? So
right.
Everything in between, the most crew damage. And that's represented that you get extra criticals. So you have extra chances to do those critical hits.
Cool.
If you can rake. So the game, again, super quick, super simple. The models are beautiful. If you guys haven't gone and looked at the models at this point and you're listening to this, go look at them. They're amazing, like very accurate to the time period. And if you've been interested so far in the mechanics, you'll have to basically realize that this game is going to be super fast playing, and it'll be very easy to get through a game where you're actually playing with like 9 ships, and you could do like major naval engagements. I think that's really cool. To me, it's a subject matter that I find infinitely fascinating, and I've already got like designs on building a sea sort of board and like recreating some battles in the Caribbean and, you know, some different engagements that actually did happen. And you'll be able to do that because all the ships, at least in the Kickstarter that are coming out, I'm imagining that as the game grows and develops, there'll be like named ships produced, which is rad. But like outside of the named ships, the ships that are in the like almost every navy in the time period had access to the ships that are in the Kickstarter. So one of the cool things is that you'll be able to buy the Kickstarter box, and predictably it'll have the cards you need to play whatever nation that you want to play, and then you'll get access to the special abilities based on the ships that you pick. So I think that's really cool that the models themselves will be mostly available to every faction, and you get to like play as the nation that you either identify with or you like the abilities for, and you'll be able to just use the ships that you have.
That's actually cool.
Really cool. Yep.
Yeah.
And I think at this point that is the depth of my knowledge to Oak and Iron. Like, I've watched a couple Let's Plays. That's how I sort of know how the mechanics work and watching how initiative works and like how a raking shot works. But it's really cool. I guess I can go, if you guys are interested, I can tell you a little bit more about how the game actually breaks down.
Absolutely. I want to
hear more. Please do.
All right. So the first phase of the initiative.
We want to hook, line, and sinker Jim while we can.
Sure. So the first phase is the initiative phase. So that's when you're going to flip and show your initiative. And then after that, you have a movement phase. And this is an alternating activation game. So I activate a ship, you activate a ship. And in the movement phase, that's where you set your sails. And you always start at whatever the sail setting that you're at from the previous round. And then you can make a skill check where you're looking for sails or crits, and that can either drop your speed or lower your speed. So, and you always roll five dice for those at least when you have no fatigue on your ship, you roll five dice. And as long as you get a sail or a crit, you can either increase or decrease your speed. And that's how you either raise or lower sails.
Okay.
And then you make your maneuvers and take an action. And the actions are, well, I guess raising and lowering the sails is an action. An action that you can take is to rally your ship, and rallying your ship lowers your ship fatigue by one. Or you can reload cannons, because in this game, after you fire cannons off one side of the ship or the other, you can't fire again until you reload the cannons.
That makes sense.
Dub. Yep. Again. Yeah.
Definitely does.
Makes sense.
And what's really cool about the game is it comes with tokens to mark A, if you fired, and also B, it comes with wake tokens. So after you make a maneuver, you put a wake token down behind the ship, and that marks the ships that have already moved.
Oh, cool. Okay.
It makes sense and thematic as well too.
Yep. So super clever. And then you go into the combat phase, which is when you're actually going to fire. And that works the same way, in initiative order starting, and then back and forth firing with the ships that can fire. And then guess what, guys? After you fire, you pick up a wake marker.
So you're resetting for the next round.
Exactly. And that's how you know whether or not ships have gone, is by picking up the wake tokens.
Right.
I like that. That's a nice touch.
And so here's some more cool stuff. So ships have, you've heard me say damage and fatigue. So fatigue is basically representing your sailors dying or having to hide and fearing for their lives, versus damage to the ship, which is actually the ship being destroyed, right? The hull of the ship being destroyed. And so fatigue is really cool, because every two fatigue you lose, and it's not every one, it steps in two. So after you lose two fatigue, you lose two dice on every subsequent dice roll until you can recover fatigue to a level that takes you outside of a multiple of two.
Oh, wow.
So we'll say that your ship has a cannon rating of 8, which would mean you would roll 8 dice. As soon as you take 2 fatigue, you're down to 6 dice. You take 4 fatigue, you're down to 4 dice. And that goes even with skill checks. So if you want to raise or lower your sails, that 5 dice check goes down to 3 and then down to 1 if you've taken 4 fatigue.
Interesting.
Because your crew is less efficient, right? They can't necessarily move because they're all hiding behind boxes or dead.
That's pretty interesting, having a separate mechanic for that.
Yeah, it's really cool. And that's about as much as I can tell you right now about the game. There's a few other things like how the wind works and whatever, but the general gist of it is, you know, boats work like you would imagine. They sail slower when they're going into the wind and faster when they've got the wind behind them. And so this is a game of like maneuvering, clever maneuvering, and picking and choosing when to fire at the right time, and knowing when to fire versus when to reload, and when to hold back your fire till you have a more opportune moment to let those cannons go. It sounds like there's also going to be a whole bunch of missions. I guess we don't know too much about that yet, and we'll find out more in the Kickstarter. But that's the general gist.
So do we know anything of what's going to be in the Kickstarter as far as prices or anything like that? Do we know what the jump-in point is?
We don't know what the jump-in point is at this point.
Obviously, when people are listening to this, they will be able to reference that.
Yep, but it looks like you get 6 ships, plus a bunch of cards, all the maneuvering tiles, these very gorgeous clear acrylic bases, which is great because you're going to be able to see whatever your game mat is underneath.
Yeah, I like that.
Oh man, so cool!
And that's why when you posted the link to it on the Facebook account today, you know, I looked at that. And I'm like, man, if I could play on a table like that every time, I'd be in sure.
Those tables that they have set up on the Kickstarter are really, really nice looking.
Yeah, they're like resin filled. Yeah, those are pretty gorgeous.
Yeah, who's got time to make that?
Not me.
Yeah, that's the problem.
But so here's the thing: the game will be based around a box set that comes with everything two players need to get started right out of the box.
I support that.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And then outside of that, players will be able to buy ships that come with all the cards they need to play with them inside the boxes, including cards and tokens for those ships to add more ships to their fleets.
I like it.
That's good. All companies should do that. Fantasy Flight.
Yeah, I'm really excited. It feels like a game that won't take a lot of space on my shelves. Will be very easy to display. And, all I have to do is buy a 3x3 C mat. And then make some like expanding foam islands and, you know, like be good to go. It feels like the perfect sort of thing for me to have as a side game just because of my interest in it and like as a display piece too. So I'm really, really excited about it.
Yeah. From the website, it definitely looks very display
worthy, right?
Yeah.
And like if we're being honest, like there aren't a lot of people, like if you walk up to someone and you're like, you like pirates? Like most people are like, no dude, pirates suck.
Fuck those guys, I hate pirates. Nobody says that.
Says that.
I just like it's god, I would, it's just job, I hate to interrupt, but I wish we'd have had this conversation before we went to Disney. So this way I could have just encouraged you to go up to everybody asking them if they like pirates.
You like pirates? Especially like in line for Pirates of the Caribbean.
You like pirates?
Yeah, I was like, do that in Ventureland. You know what? I will do it when I'm there, and I will have someone record it for you, Paul.
Please do. God, I would love that. All right, so anyway, thank you.
But anyway, it's a period that's romanticized, right? Like, so if you had people come over to your house, this isn't the type of thing you're like, hey, do you guys want to play Infinity? Like when you have a friend come over and you're like, all right, first thing, this is going to take me 45 minutes to explain to you. Like, you just like, it's like lights out, right? People are like, fuck that, no way. This seems really accessible. And it's a subject matter that like, it also, it's not like, hey babe, how do you feel about playing a game with a bunch of hulked out space soldiers, like, and gross aliens with their tits hanging out? Like, does that sound like the kind of thing that you'd like?
They're demons, not aliens.
Whatever. Right. Yeah, Slaanesh is where I was going, and you're right.
Yeah. But like, Slaanesh is a great way to get women into the game.
Yeah, and this game doesn't have any of that.
It's got great female representation.
Come on, man. But like, you can just imagine, like, you're playing, like, I don't know, it doesn't have like that sort of bias built into it. It's just ships.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and again, it's a thing that like pretty much everyone, even if they're not like interested into the point where they've read books about, you know, historic naval battles, or they know a lot about naval battle theory, they can jump into this game and play it and have a good time. And I think that's another huge strong selling point for it. It doesn't have baggage. That's the thing I was trying to say.
Ah, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and that's just it. It's easier to get people to jump into pirates than it is, you know, like, hey, you want to play this
right. It's not thing. It's not Star Wars. It's not Warhammer. It's like, it's not a thing that just comes with a whole bunch of baggage along with it. It's just like, hey, this is like a historical time period, and we can just like throw down and shoot cannons at each other for a half hour, and it'll be really fun, right? Like it just seems like a much more appealing game, like to a huge mainstream audience of people.
Yeah, I was about to say, it doesn't hurt that, you know, pirates are very super popular right now. So,
right.
I mean, and again, Xbox just got their new game.
And one thing I want to say, in case we link this and like somehow Mike Tunez is listening to this, it's not a game specifically about pirates. It's set in the golden age of piracy. So you're going to be like having French, Spanish, Dutch, English, like all these different navies. And there are also there are pirates, but it's not necessarily a pirate themed game. Pirates are just a faction that exists because that's the time period that it takes place in, is the golden age of piracy.
Roughly 1660 to 1720.
That's correct.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, thank you. I'm pushing up my glass.
Nope.
But yeah, so
more like you're reading a line of text.
Yes, reading a line of text. But yeah, I mean that's good for reference for history nerds like me.
Yeah, I think that, again, I'm super excited for it. The idea that, and it doesn't look like it's going to be a game that's going to push your hobby muscle super hard if you don't want it to, right? Like, paint the ships brown, paint the sails beige, go, go, go.
Like, yeah, I mean, the thing about that, though, is I was looking at some of those models that you sent today, and I was kind of intimidated by them.
Yeah, they're pretty decent. They're well detailed. So if you want it, but the thing is, you got to realize, like, those are going to take a wash, you know, something fierce. Like, so I think you're going to be able to get those table ready in a quick ass hurry.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
See, and Potter wouldn't have to worry about them holding guns and being able to paint behind the guns and stuff.
Shut your whore mouth.
All right, but I have gushed all I'm gonna gush about Oak and Iron until I see more about the Kickstarter, because it could come out and be like $120 and totally be like, fuck that, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, for like six ships or whatever. Yeah,
right. So the price is the comparison that I'm gonna set it to is the Ares game, Sails of Glory. It can't be more expensive than Sails of Glory, or else it's never gonna work. So if this starter is the same price as the Sails of Glory starter, I'm fucking in there.
Okay. I don't know enough about Sails of Glory either. So ship to ship game I truly know is Star Wars.
Stipian Wars.
No, Star Wars.
Oh,
at this point, yeah, that X-Wing. No, not X-Wing. Armada.
Armada.
Yeah.
Armada is basically a naval game in space, for sure. Yep.
Yeah. So that's the one that I'm most familiar with and could make references to. I would say Dystopian Wars, but again, I haven't messed around with that beta at all. So,
yeah, man, Fantasy Flight could make a rad Terranoff ship-to-ship combat game with
they could.
Armada rules. Holy shit. Anyway, Oak and Iron sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what the Kickstarter brings, to be perfectly honest with you. I think that'll be good. All right, so I know, Chops, you've been hyping that game to Chris and I for a while, so I wanted to make sure that we had the chance to talk about that since it was coming up on the Kickstarter. But Potter, you found some interesting stuff to talk about.
Yeah, so we'll shift gears from the little guy to the 800-pound gorilla in the room of Games Workshop. So this weekend they've had their Blood and Glory event in Derby, United Kingdom, and apparently that's becoming a big thing. So they used it as a platform to launch a shit ton of stuff. So we'll kind of start off, at the top of it. What I think is the biggest news coming out of it was probably Blackstone Fortress, which, if you guys don't know, is going to basically be the Warhammer 40K equivalent of Shades, or not Shadespire, Silver Tower for Age of Sigmar. And if for any of those old school board gamers, Silver Tower is essentially GW's modernization of HeroQuest. And I know we've talked about it a little bit in the show in the past about HeroQuest. It was one of my first introductions into kind of that fantasy, tabletop RPG kind of stuff. So it's just their reimagining of it, and they've released a ton of stuff for it. They've shown us all the models that are going to come in it. Got brand new.
A lot of them.
Huh?
They've showed a lot of the models. I mean, you can't see them all super close, but yeah.
Right. You're right. So, I mean, we've seen, they've shown us two new of the sculpts for Chaos Space Marines, which, Chops and you and I have talked about it. God, they're gorgeous. Every Chaos player is going to want these for their undivided faction. They're just beautiful. We got some Eldar models in there, some Tau models, Rogue Trader models. So there's going to be a ton of stuff in it. It's going to be great. Even brand new alien models that we haven't seen before. So it's called there's a mechanical minion called a Spindler drone. Looks like something straight out of the War of the Worlds.
It really does look like something out of War of the Worlds. That is the exact same comparison I was going to make.
Yeah. So so that's kind of the big news that they've had there. They've also released a brand new team, announced a brand new team for Warhammer Underworlds. It's called the Godsworn. And pretty much think of everything you ever wanted the old school Marauders to be, plus that on crack and steroids. Like, they're fantastic looking models.
Yeah, and for the Shadespire players that haven't seen this already, Warhammer Underworlds players who haven't seen this already, it's a 6-fighter warband with, looks like 5 dudes and a big-ass angry cat.
Get your animals out of my war game.
Hey, this cat looks ready to tear some people up.
I can't tell if
Sergeant
it's a cat.
Sergeant Stubby.
Shut up. I can't tell if it's a really muscular cat or like a really scrawny dog.
No, dude, that's a panther. Look, get the fuck out of here. That's a big ass black cat.
Yeah.
They look real cool, man.
All I can picture is World Police.
Yeah, so I mean, they're doing a continuation on like the Shadespire Barbarian, or not Shadespire, Silver Tower Barbarian that they had in that set. And then also the special commander that they released with the
Malign Portents.
Yeah, the Malign Portents campaign. So it's kind of going on that, and one of the things that our local GW guy was talking to me about was that the potential that probably each one of those Malign Portents commanders has kind of already gotten something to fit with their shtick. Like, Stormcast got their engines now. Night Goblin's got a little bit more love. The only one that hadn't gotten anything yet was the barbarian female that came out with it. This kind of now ties into what he was saying. Like, most likely they're probably going to get some love soon, and this team helps make that more of just not maybe theory crafting, that it might actually come to light, which makes me happy.
Yeah, I think we might see a Dark Oath like full release.
Yeah, and I would be okay with that. I 100% would. So then we also got a new Necromunda team. We're not sure how to pronounce the name. If it's
Delac,
Delacroix,
Delacue,
Delacue,
Delac, or get the fuck out.
So I mean, they're really cool. They're interesting looking. They remind me if you had seen Star Wars, they remind me of the alien creatures that are on. Oh God, what was the planet where Grievous and Kenobi fight?
Dilly.
No, that wasn't the damn planet.
Mustafar?
No, it's not. That's Anakin. And
oh, that's
Kenobi,
right. Shit. Obi-Wan. I forget what they're. I don't remember. What am I?
I can't remember. I don't know. It doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't matter. But they remind me of them. Like, very tall, slender, no hair.
That's Mustafar.
No. God. No, it's not.
It's not. It's fine, though. Oh. The what they remind
You're gonna
me of.
Derail me here.
They remind me of the guys from Dark City.
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit. I would say that. It's been a long time since I've seen that movie, so I didn't think of that reference.
It's a good movie. All you youngins that are like, Dark City, the fuck is this old guy talking about? Go watch that movie.
That's an amazing mind movie. Trip. And I think the other big thing we got is obviously Chapter Approved has been announced for 2018, so the book will be coming out soon. We're going to be getting Commander Farsight's rules updates in there for Tau, and the biggest thing that we got is looted wagons for orcs. Thank God, because how you have an orc army without looted tanks, I don't get. And the Sisters of Battle beta rules will be
yeah.
In
when
chapter.
You said when you said biggest and you didn't say the beta for the Sisters, I was like, the fuck are you talking about?
That's the biggest. No, I was trying to. Hey, looted wagons is still big. Time. I know. I don't speak English very well.
Yeah, looted wagons is also yes, yes, please, yes. Amazing.
So, but I think I mean obviously Sisters of Battle is obviously the numero uno, the creme de la creme for it. And the fact that GW itself is giving us beta rules, which is something they've never Utapau. Done before. Thank you, Utapau.
And Paul, I'm imagining you haven't read this page with announcements. Have you read it?
No, I have not.
All right. So I want to read the Sisters of Battle stratagem that they spoiled in this article. Okay. So it's called Burning Descent. This is a 1 CP stratagem.
Okay.
All right. Use this stratagem after a Seraphim squad unit from your army is set up on the battlefield using its Sky Strike ability, which I'm assuming is their Deep Strike.
Right.
You can immediately shoot with that unit as if you were shooting in the shooting phase. And for those attacks, the range of the unit's hand flamers is increased to 12 inches.
Oh, fuck.
This does
that.
Not prevent the unit from shooting again in the
fuck
shooting
that.
Phase.
Yeah. That's insane.
It's so cool.
Well, the other thing I like about the fact is one thing that they're adding to the Sisters, which they've never had before, is, you know, so every Codex has gotten their flavor of things, you know. Space Marines have got their chapters, Necrons have their their dynasties, you know, Orcs have all their different clans. So Sisters are getting what are called convictions. So they're going to be their little sub factions within each one. And the one that they previewed here is the Order of the Bloody Rose. And they have an ability called Quick to Anger. And it's add 1 to the strength and attacks characteristics of a model with this conviction during any turn in which it made a charge move, was charged, or performed a heroic intervention. So essentially, they got both the best of the Blood Angels and the Space Wolves in that one order for Sisters.
That's
amazing.
That's absolutely
yeah,
insane.
They're pretty great. They're pretty great. That's I'm imagining their base stat line will be pretty won't be super high.
Oh, it'll be threes. It'll be threes. They're humans. Yeah. So they'll have like guard stats.
Yeah, but that brings them up to Space Marines. It's
right.
Pretty rad.
So like these are angry nuns with guns.
Yep.
Best kind of nuns.
Sure.
I'm liking that. So, I mean, those are the big things. Obviously, you know, the Kill Team Command roster application was talked about a little bit. And then also Warhammer Underworlds is getting a deck builder as well, too.
Oh, that'll be cool. That'll be really cool. That's handy dandy.
Yeah, so, you know who you're talking to, and you haven't mentioned the most important announcement to him.
I'm looking. That's all I see.
Oh, boy. Oh my gosh.
That's all I see.
There is a teaser trailer which very clearly hints at the fact that the next Age of Sigmar battle tome is Moon Clan Grots.
Oh.
Shh. I wasn't going to talk about that.
Oh, what? Why wouldn't we talk about that? Where? What?
Night Goblins, man.
Oh god, that's amazing. So how stoked are you, Chefs?
Super stoked. Unbelievably stoked. I hate that I like Age of Sigmar so much and never play it. It's like the worst thing.
You know, I was actually going to talk about that in our last discussion about Toss, and it's like the more and more of these games that are coming out, like Other Side and Soifi and all, you know, Wild West Exodus and stuff that we're playing, like the further and further away I get it from playing GW games.
Yeah,
and it's not
too.
Because I don't like them, but these other games are just so much more accessible to play, yeah, I think.
Yeah, because of the amount of money it takes to get started, sure. And like, man, but God damn it, you guys. Grots are like my weakness. I'm so excited. I don't think I'll buy any, at least to start. I might ask for some for Christmas, though, if I'm being honest. Just to paint them, if there's some new Grot models. Because, like, you know, you guys know, I play Gremlins and Malifaux. If there was a green skin faction in the Other Side, I would play it. I've got some Iron Jaws already for Age of Sigmar, and really goblins are like my favorite thing, like small little impy dudes that rely on being assholes in general to win. That's like exactly what I like thematically, so the Grots are right up my alley.
Yeah, you're like me when it comes to dwarves. Any game that has a dwarf in it, that's what I play.
Man, these guys raise mushroom monsters that run at stuff and blow up. Are you fucking kidding me? They're so cool, man. Squigs are awesome. Grots are. I just love everything about them. I bought the Zarbag's Gits, right? That's going to be a thing that I'll be painting soon.
Nice. I'm looking forward to seeing that.
Underworlds?
Yeah. The Grots Underworld. Oh, you know I had that day one. Get the fuck out of here. The second, like, the first place I went after I got home from Disney Paul was the FLGS to buy that. Like, literally the first, that was my first stop after I got home.
Like, that does not surprise me one bit.
I was like, $30 for 8 Grots? Yeah, I'm in.
Yeah,
or seven Grots and 2 Squigs. But yeah,
that,
yeah.
I don't understand how I don't own Frey Slayers yet, but yeah, I'm that.
Yeah, I don't understand how you don't own those, because those models are rad.
They're amazing. They're so beautiful. I think the reason why I haven't bought them is because to me they're not a full faction, and that's why.
Sure, yeah, they've got like Magma Droths are so fucking cool.
Yeah,
they anyway. Are. Oh, I want some for my Stormcast army as allies. Don't get me wrong. I'm like you. Like, I love Sigmar. I love playing the game. I just don't ever get to play it because there's so many other good games to get into.
But yeah. So let's just get a little bit deeper in the weeds here with these announcements. So as we look at this, one of the models that they spoiled is a couple new sculpts for Chaos Space Marines.
Yes.
You want to, I mean, we talked a little bit about this pre-show. Maybe Paul will go back and listen and find a stinger in when we were talking about the Chaos Space Marines.
Yeah.
These fucking models, you guys.
They look amazing.
Like 13-year-old Kevin like squeals with delight, right? Like, looking at these models, they are like the definition of like of 13-year-old white power fantasy, white male power fantasy. When you look at these models,
yeah, they are. I mean, it is 1980s power metal models brought to current standards.
Yeah. Just take any like nerdy teenager in suburban America and ask him what's cool. He's going to describe these fucking models.
That's right. That's right. Exactly. What's cool and evil. And this is what we'll come up with.
Yeah. It's like they're still on the same scale as the current Chaos Warriors. They're just beefier. Like, now seeing these models, I can't help but think that, like, current Chaos models are anorexic.
Well, then, and that's exactly what happened with Plague Marines, right? I mean...
Right.
You know, that's exactly what happened with those. Those came out, and all of a sudden, the old ones are like, oh, they're kind of wimpy looking.
But again, even the Plague Marines, we got, like, a height scale increase on those. So I'm hoping these do, too.
I'm sure.
I can't go without mentioning, though, and I mentioned this earlier off-air, how amazing the bolt gun casing ejector is. It's a fucking screaming skull. Oh my god.
That's like such a nice touch.
So the bolt gun casings the bulk gun casings are just flying out of these skulls' mouths. It's so, like, just like all the mental imagery of these guys for me is just amazing.
Yeah. Well, and the one thing I didn't notice until I've been looking at them right now is the way that the heavy metal team painted them, the leather wrappings around the their bolt pistol holsters is flayed flesh.
It definitely is.
Oh yeah, yep. It is.
Yeah, so I mean that's a nice touch by the heavy metal team.
These guys are smart.
Yeah. Yeah, they're
smart. Yeah, these are beautiful sculpts. Although I will say, like, so what we have, what we've been able to see, what they've shown, and what people have kind of like blown up with their grainy pictures, like these Blackstone Fortress models we're getting from like the Inquisition side are some very old school GW grim dark models, and I'm loving everything I'm seeing.
Well, it's because, like, it's that grim dark, but it's that new model style.
Right, but yeah. It's like looking at the Inquisitor, like that looks like a pope, like the tube just running up his nose, you know, the servo skulls, like it's all that kind of stuff of like Terra that you see in the artwork, but you never get to see in models outside of maybe some of the old school Sister of Battle models, like finally brought to life, and I love it. Like I love the GW is stepping out of that comfort zone of like, you know, humans is Guard and Space Marines. And what little Inquisition we've gotten so far, like now they're stepping out and we're getting rogue traders. They're starting to do that little aspects of the Inquisition that we don't see every day. Like we just have artwork for. I'm loving that, and they're bringing a new life to these models. They're beautiful, and it's great, and it's bringing a little bit of that grim dark back into the 40K world,
which I don't think has ever left. But I think it's really just that those models are more the modern style, so it stands out.
It's definitely been toned down in these last recent years with some of these sales. And again, I think it was a lot of trying to, you know, parents not wanting their kids to play because the models look scary and stuff. Like, Slaanesh went on a hiatus for how many years, and it's finally starting to come back? You know, so I think it's just the company going back to some of its older roots and, you know, just saturating the market with models that get what they get, but at the same time start being true to back to their lore and their models.
Yeah, like which it. Is good. I mean they're gorgeous, and you're right with the Pope. I mean, I feel like I'm looking at like the next evolution of the band Ghost and what they're gonna show up in concert dressed as.
So
I mean it's like that metal-y. It's great.
And that female BL-10 Ranger, Jesus, that's a beautiful model.
Oh my God. That's my favorite model I've seen so far in the Blackstone box.
I hate Eldar, and Jesus, that's a beautiful model.
Yeah, it's amazing. And it has that same thing where it's like has some old school hints. Like if you were to look at it, you're like, oh, that's definitely Eldar. And then you look at an old like fine cast Ranger and you're like, oh, that's a broke ass dumb looking model in comparison.
Yep. Yeah, and then, you know, then we've got like the Kroot Rifleman.
Oh God, that model.
I just love the little like cloak and how they've got it slung over the shoulder. Like it makes it feel kind of that old fantasy mercenary with the duster and the kind of an old west fantasy type vibe.
Yeah, I agree.
I hate Kroot. I think Kroot are ugly models. I cannot stand those models. This Not model's that one. Great. This yep. one's beautiful.
Yeah.
GW, it's pretty good. Make all your Kroot look like this.
It looks a little bit like a Shezvasti, but I'll allow it.
I'll allow it. Well, with the way their stock price is like going, I think they can do whatever the hell they want at this point.
I don't like when they steal like certain looks from other companies, especially they've stolen a lot of stuff from Corvus Belli recently. So like I was like, really, guys, another Corvus Belli design you're clearly ripping off, but whatever.
Well, I mean, yeah, look, I'm like, orcs and Eldar were straight ripped from, you know, Blizzard from StarCraft and Warcraft. And Tyranids are ripped from StarCraft.
I don't know. I mean, I think it's the other way around there. But they ripped it from Tolkien. They all got it from Tolkien.
Well, yeah.
So it's just a cycle of ripping people off. But man, go and look at that Kroot and then go look at a Shezvasti and be like, oh yeah, Kevin's got a point.
Well, I mean, yeah. everybody rips from everybody at this point in time. Yeah, there's nothing true. That's original anymore.
Like I said, I'm not going to hate. I just want to, you know, let it be known
that it's out there and it's a thing.
So, and then, so the other thing that's out big this weekend is orcs finally got their codex. Orktober is over. What are your thoughts on October?
Orktober. Wait, Orktober happened?
It's over. Man, we're in November.
I didn't even, so, I mean, what came out? I mean, there was like nothing happened.
Basically,
I mean, the book came out, Speed Freaks.
But yeah, that's not Orktober. That's like, hey, you've been waiting 20 years.
Here's four new vehicles.
Yeah, done. Fuck you. Like, that's shitty. I don't know. Like, to me, I was thinking that, like, Rangers were going to be revamped. And, I don't know, like, Orktober sounded big and huge. And it was, like, nothing. I mean, even had the excitement of, like, oh, what's this squig thing? You know, and then what's that going to be? And this weird troll thing? Are we going to get Grots, too? And no, it just turned out to be a warband, which is cool. But when you're hyping everything up like that with those amazing videos that they put out, those advertisements, it was a disappointment.
I hate it.
I agree.
I like what we got in terms of, like, I like the new buggies, but here's what I'm going to say. They didn't release enough to call this thing Orktober. I'm with you, Paul. They didn't. Making it some monthly event and then releasing a box set and a book in the last week of the month. Fuck you guys. Seriously, fuck you. From a green skin player, suck my dick. Like, I'm so mad.
Yeah, I mean, I was expecting like Orc Boys resculpts. I was expecting like a big giant Gazgul finally.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't expecting anything. I just wanted something else.
I mean, because like, I think like the commando models are fine, the knob models are fine, the bike models are fine, because those all got like new sculpts a couple years back. But like your Orc Boys are the same Orc Boys we've had for 20 years.
Yeah.
Fucking give us something new.
And you want me to tell you the other thing that pisses me off?
Yes, please.
So, all right. So Speed Freaks is $150 for 8 models and some terrain. Now, it's fine, right? Because these are big models. And I believe when GW says, because we don't know what these models cost. Like, these are all pretty much new. I mean, the bikes aren't, but the two big roadsters are. Right. Now, have you guys seen these models in person yet?
No.
No.
So they are on knight bases.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, they're quite long.
They're big. These are big models. So things that have been on knight bases recently are like the Black Coach, which is $110.
Right.
Knights, which range from $130 to $175. So I have to believe that these new buggies are going to be in the $80 to $100 range. And they are between 40 and 80 points apiece in game.
What?
So
the
amount of money that a player is going to have to throw down to play an orc army, and you know, orc boys in the codex, I think they're 7 points, and most people are saying you want to run like 90 of them, which is fine, right? That's
two units.
Yeah. I mean, you don't get into orcs not thinking that you're going
to
have.
Yeah, that math checks out. But you know, if you're going to ask me to spend money to buy 90 orcs based on the way you're codex is designed, I can't say for sure, but I think boys come in boxes of 10 or 20 and they're like $22 a box.
Dude, so I'm looking at the website right now. So it's 10 boys, one knob, so 11 models, $29,
so $30. And I need out the gate I need 9 of those, and then you're telling me that I have to buy between 10 and 15 of these fucking roadsters at $80 a pop.
So
fuck you.
No. So if the pricing on any of these new ones are going to be anything, so what comes in the Speed Freak box is separate from the four new ones that they've got. So they've
Two of them are the new ones. So there's the eight models, right? Three of them are six of them are bikes, and they're just right. They're standard orc bikes. But the other two are the Shock Jump Dragsta. And I can't think of the name of the other one that's in it right now.
So it's the Shock Dump Dragsta, and it's the
Custom Boosted Blasta.
Yeah, the Custom Boosted Blasta. So neither of those are for sale on individual right now.
They're
so
not.
What is out right now that is brand new to Speed Freaks, or well, to Orcs, is the Rucka Truck Squig Buggy, the Boom Deck of Snaz Wagon, which is in Speed Freaks, I think, actually. Yeah,
they're not that you can use them in Speed Freaks, but they don't come in the box.
Right, and then you've got the Deathkiller War Trike, which is the boss on a trike, and the Megatrack Scrap Jet. Each one of those are $45 individually.
Okay, they're not that much.
That's still.
Ooh, I was real worried, but so 40. So is the Megatrack Scrap Jet on there?
Yes, the Megatrack Scrap Jet is 40. They're all $45. The Megatrack Scrap Jet, the Rucka Truck.
I retract my previous statement. I could have done 2 seconds of extra research before I went on that tirade. But even still, that's $100 for, like, think about what you get when you spend $100 on most models. You get more than 110, 130 points worth of models.
Right. Yeah.
That hurts, man.
Oh, it's the Custom Boosted Blasta and the Six War Trikes. And the Shock Jump Dragsta. Those two aren't for sale individually right now.
But yeah, so much money. And I'm guessing they're going to be $45. And if that's the case, if they're $45, that Speed Freaks box is not a bargain.
No.
Well, yeah, so that's 80. So that's $80. And then the bikes are coming a set of... I just saw it here. So the bikes come in a set of three for $41. So that's $120 right there, plus board, plus dice.
It's 180 in models. So it's 180 in models plus dice and whatever for 150. Like, that's not like when you look at Tooth and Claw. Tooth and Claw's retail price is like $370 or whatever, $350. So it's not like when you buy Speed Freaks, it's not a spectacular deal.
You're actually spending money to buy Speed Freaks if you're looking at it just from a pure model perspective.
Boo.
Like, yeah, that's a miss on their part.
You're spending $30 more.
Boo.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. No, so it's two, yeah, no, it's, you are it's, you are saving.
It's 180. It's two sets of 30 bikes. Bucks. Yeah, it's 30
it's
bucks.
Two sets of bikes.
Yeah, it's $30 you're saving, but still, boo.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, this one, but, you know, and so we'll talk about it from a pros perspective. You know, we've seen the cons of it, the pros perspective of it. How many of these new box sets have they come out with? And this one's one of the first misses.
Yeah, that's which fine. Is true.
It's fine. And let me tell you something. You know who's going to buy a Boom Deck of Snaz Wagon?
You.
Me.
Because why wouldn't you?
Because I have to. Because it's called a Boom Deck of Snaz Wagon.
I was just thinking I would love to see the conversation between you and your wife being like, honey, I just got a Boom Deck of Snaz Wagon.
Well, dude, I have to, the Megatrack Scrapjack, the driver alone is worth that model. Like, in his little aviator jacket with his little scarf blowing in the wind. Like, it's so orky.
Yeah,
well, I mean,
true.
Everything about the Boom Deck of Snaz Wagon is super orky, too. Like,
oh, yeah.
The grot, like, very Mad Maxy, like,
on the front of it.
Yeah.
You just gotta paint it all nice and shiny and chromey, man.
That's right.
Yeah.
I just like the grot hanging out the window. And like no one's driving this thing. It looks like
shooting pistols. Oh yeah, no. There's a boy driving. There's a boy.
But he's got a Molotov in his hand.
Yeah, and if
so, he's obviously not concentrating on the road.
And the rules for that are amazing. So that guy that's throwing that shit out the window, it's 3d6 attacks.
Holy shit.
And see, the thing is like, look at these orcs on, look at the two orcs on the Boom Dagasnaz wagon. And like, this is what I want boys to look like.
Me too. Like, yeah, that's what I'm saying. If boys looked like that, I would not be able to resist. I'd have to start selling board games and doing whatever like, I could do to buy these
are,
models.
These are such – they're great. Because obviously these are not knobs. These are definitely boys. Like, they're not big enough to be knobs. So, yeah, I mean, GW, give me this, please, and I will buy an orc army. Like, that's all you need to do for me to buy an orc army. Yeah, just, I mean, make
honestly,
these the boys.
I want a Speed Freaks army. Like, I love everything about these things, man.
I see. I want a what is it? Death skulls. Whatever they're called. That's the one I want.
Death skulls.
The death skulls. Yeah. Whatever they're called. Orcs. You know what I mean. They're just because I don't say it orky. Because yeah, the reason why I don't want to do it is because it's easy to paint, and red is a pain in the ass to paint, and I paint too much of it already. I think at one point in time, Paul would have had three armies I was painting. They were all red.
Yeah, that was when I was going through my Sotek green kick. Although I did buy more Sotek green because my striped skulkers are going to be Sotek green.
Yeah, now I'm looking at building a Space Wolf army, and I'm going to paint my my King's Army the Fang.
That's pretty funny.
Oh, I didn't see on the... on the Deathkiller War Truck, the knob that's on it has got a flaming skull on the back of his leather jacket.
He definitely does.
That's so awesome. I might buy just a Speed Freak army, an all bike Speed Freak army, because it'll be cheaper.
And then you know what you can do. You can play Gaslands.
Jim, it's not happening if you're listening.
You can play Gaslands.
28 mil Gaslands.
Right. Not doing it.
Print up the larger tokens and you're good to go. Man, that game's so much fun.
At this point, I'm doing it just out of spite.
I was going to say, you're missing out on a good game just to be a jerk.
Yeah, but that's kind of my shtick.
I know.
But yeah, orcs.
Yeah, Orctober was a disappointment.
Orctober was a letdown.
Yeah.
It was a letdown.
Yeah, see, and I thought that I was missing out on good stuff because I was traveling so much for work, but it turns out it just sucked.
Yeah, because I was hoping there was going to be enough to bring Bob back out and bring his orcs out and play, but...
I know, but no. Although I gotta get up with him because he wants to play some Kill Team.
Good. Well, let me know. I'll bring out my stuff, too.
All right, well, we're coming to our end for this one. Very enlightening. Any last thoughts, Chops, on either Oak and Iron or 40K stuff, Warhammer stuff?
Oak and Iron looks awesome. Fuck yeah. Night Vault. Oh, God. The future for that game is so bright. I'm so excited to be back in it and playing that game. And yeah, Oak and Iron, man. Keep a lookout.
Butter, how about you? Last thoughts?
Again, I apologize, Jim, if we convince you to buy another game.
And for me, I learned what a flute is, and that's exciting. It's not what I thought.
It is exciting, and I'm glad that you you went and you looked at a picture, and you now know what a flute is.
Man, I wish I had artistic skill, because I wish I could draw my vision of a flute. because I think it would be amazing. But anyway, follow us on the social medias at Three Men in a War Game for Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And those are all with the number 3, not the word 3. Follow us just go to our Patreon, Three Men in a War Game, or patreon.com/Three Men in a War Game. That's the full word. We have some good levels there, and be helping us out, supporting the show. There's a lot of things we want to do, and we need your help to do it. Thanks to Static as a City for the wonderful music. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thanks. Bye.
Thanks all.
you like pirates? Like most people are like, no, dude, pirates suck.
Fuck those guys. I hate pirates. Nobody says that. No one
exactly.
says that.
Exactly.